This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Every November, we start seeing everything from pencil-thin whiskers to full-blown handlebars. You know, some people can grow a moustache in a week. Others look like they've just glued on a few wandering eyelashes. And it all comes down to our bodies. So what's actually behind those wildly different Movember experiences? And why do moustaches grow differently from the hair on our heads? So many questions. And what really influences things like baldness, beards, and everything in between? Well, Associate Professor Teresa Larkin from the University of Wollongong is back. Teresa, welcome back.
Hello, Warren. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Why does facial hair behave like it has its own personality? What's going on?
It does, doesn't it? Because there are so many different things about it in terms of the texture, even the colour of hair on the face compared to on the scalp. Yes. So it's interesting because we actually think of facial hair, they're really the main follicles that respond to testosterone, which is the main one of the male hormones. But everything to do with hair is basically determined by genetics. So genetics will determine the thickness and the density of the hair follicles, so how many we have and how thick the hair is going to grow out of that. It also affects the sensitivity to testosterone, so that then when someone has testosterone or increasing amounts of that, it can respond differently. But interestingly, full beard growing potential is reached at around 30 years of age.
Oh, really? Whenever I get my cut, my barber goes, "Oh my God, you've got the thickest, hardest whiskers." you can almost hear the clipper going, trying to get through. It's like a whippersnipper getting through thick grass. Tell us about testosterone. What does testosterone do in the body?
Yeah, so it's the main one of the male hormones. So the male hormones in general are called androgens, which means generation of andro, which is male. But they actually are produced by all cells in the body that can produce steroid hormones. So that means the adrenal glands in any sex, also means the ovaries in people who have ovaries, and then in the testes. And then of those androgens, they can be converted into testosterone itself, or they can actually also be converted into estrogens. So testosterone is the main one of the male hormones, so of the androgens, and its name comes from test, meaning it's made in the testes, and the tost is meaning that it's from, or the sterone is from, that it originally comes from cholesterol. So we actually need cholesterol to make all of our hormones, for our sex hormones and our stress hormones and things like that.
So there's actually a good role of cholesterol, because we're told often, you know, keep your cholesterol under control, you know, you've got to go on statins if you get to a certain point, etc. But there's actually a role that sometimes cholesterol does play in our bodies. It's good.
Yeah, that's right. Like, cholesterol is absolutely essential, and we make it in our own body even. And so, yeah, it's the initial step that forms the estrogens, progesterone, the androgens, testosterone, but even also cortisol, our stress hormone. So cholesterol is absolutely essential in the body. And then when we have other conversions, we can actually get conversion of testosterone to what's called dihydrotestosterone, or DHT. And that's the stronger one that's associated with prostate cancer, for example. But we can also get testosterone converted to estrogens, again, in any sex. And the enzymes for that are located in adipose tissue, in skin, in the brain. So all of us have testosterone and we all have estrogens.
What's the link between testosterone and prostate cancer that you just touched on?
Yeah, it's actually interesting. So not testosterone itself, but that metabolite, the DHT. So increased amounts of that DHT, which still comes from testosterone, and that might just be from genetics, but it can also happen if people are taking anabolic steroids for a long time or some other medications. And because that's a stronger testosterone, so it binds to the receptors on the prostate and even in other places, like the hair follicles actually. So it binds to them more strongly than testosterone. And it's actually a growth trigger for the prostate. So it can cause that benign prostatic hyperplasia where you just have an enlarged prostate, but it can also then cause growth that can be cancerous. So yes, increased DHT has got an increased risk of prostate cancer. But there are some studies that also show if you've got higher DHT, especially in those people who have higher DHT and higher baldness, that actually it reduces your risk of prostate cancer. And one of the evolutionary theories, which is super interesting, is that when you have an increase in DHT, yes, it's an increased risk of prostate cancer, but when it causes increasing baldness, that exposes your scalp to the sun, which means that you can absorb more vitamin D, which reduces your risk of prostate cancer. So considering that females don't have a prostate and we don't go that male pattern baldness, they think that this is like an evolutionary sort of feature whereby it's a little bit trying to protect, you know, what could be going on inside.
Oh, that's really fascinating. So it's almost so balding's a good thing.
Balding can be a good thing. And do you know what I was thinking? In those studies where it shows that sometimes the increase in DHT can cause prostate cancer, but sometimes the higher one, if it's associated with the baldness, can reduce the risk. I wonder if that's then about whether those people are covering their heads, not increasing their sun exposure. And look, don't get me wrong, in Australia we should be protective of the sun, but it's kind of just that indication of the role that vitamin D plays. And that's the case for pretty much all cancers, because vitamin D is a real good regulatory factor for growth. So yeah, so interesting, the different features, but the fact that there is that link between the baldness, increasing vitamin D to protect back against prostate cancer. Super interesting.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about, while we're on baldness, you know, you hear things, rumours about bald men being more virile, or that, you know, a beard is a good sign of fertility. You know, is there any truth in that?
That's right. So not so much in terms of those, because it's really about testosterone. So testosterone definitely is associated with libido. And that's why when testosterone does decline with age, that can be linked to a lower libido. And obviously a good amount of testosterone is essential for sperm development and fertility. So it's more about the fertility. So at least we can't tell by how much hair someone has if what they're like. But it's interesting because DHT is, when it works on the scalp, in terms of that pattern of the baldness, what it does is it actually reduces the size of the hair follicle. And anyone who's gone bald, I'm sure, will sort of appreciate and be able to understand this pattern. So basically what happens is that the hair ends up growing for shorter periods of time. And then it ends up becoming, the follicle gets smaller, so the hair gets finer, it just sort of gets lighter, and it just actually returns to that original hair stage of when we were younger, of being quite fine and wispy. And when I think of men who have gone bald, that's kind of the pattern that I feel like happens.
Absolutely fascinating. We're chatting with Associate Professor Teresa Larkin from the University of Wollongong about Movember moustaches and the hormones behind them. Teresa, okay, here's one for you. What does it mean when you've got someone with brown hair who has a red beard?
Oh, that's so interesting. I thought for sure that will come up as a question. So it's really interesting because it shows that that person does carry one of the genes for red hair. So you need two genes for red hair to have red hair, but so many people could be carrying one gene because it's a recessive, and that means, and that's why sometimes you'd get, you know, a child with red hair and neither parent has red hair, but they both can be carrying one of the genes. But it does mean that someone who has brown hair but then grows the red beard, it means that they are carrying that gene. And it's interesting that then it's another case of how the hair follicles on the face are different to the hair follicles on the head, because those face hair follicles, they can actually respond better to the gene for red hair, and that means that then they can have an increase in the red colour pigment. So it comes through in the beard, yeah, whereas it's not there in the head skin. So definitely a sign. It's actually one of my cousins recently, like, they had a baby and neither of them have red hair. The baby has red hair, but the dad definitely gets the red beard, and there's red hair in his family, and there's red hair in my family, the cousin on, you know, my side. So yeah, very interesting.
Do you know, in some light, some people say to me, I didn't realize your beard was red. So maybe, my goodness, there's someone, I'm going to go through our relatives and
yes,
who had the red hair.
You You might have the redhead gene. That's right. I'm a redhead, so I've got the two genes.
There's nothing wrong with redheads. It's a fantastic colour.
No, I know.
Let's talk about Movember. How long can someone's moustache expect to get during Movember? Realistically, how long could we get it?
Probably 1 to 1.5 centimetres, because that's pretty much how much it grows in a month. So it grows at sort of 0.5 millimetre a day. So, yeah, around 1 to 1.5 centimetres per month. So, you know, a decent mo, I would say. If you start with nothing, you can get a decent mo, but then it's such a classic, isn't it, when you see the variety in people. And again, that is 100% genetics. Like, our hair is really one thing that is just genetics. You know, it's everything about it says genetics. But I looked up, and the longest moustache in the Guinness Book of World Records is 4.3 metres long.
What would you do with that?
So that is by, and I know, curl it around.
You'd have to wrap it around like a snake, like a scarf around your neck.
Yeah, exactly. And that, so that's an Indian man, but I calculated that would take 20 to 40 years of growth. So that is one long Movember and one good commitment, isn't it?
Absolutely. Teresa, I love our chats. We learn so much about how our body works. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, no worries. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you. We'll chat to you next time.
Talk soon. Bye.
Thank you, Associate Professor Teresa Larkin from the University of Wollongong.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.